plus all the Talmidei Chachamim that are here. I was asked by representatives of the SOI to say some divrei hespeit for a guy named Reb Shmuel Birnbaum, the Mira Shishila Zechoinu Levracha. And I'm actually very excited to do that. The reason that I'm particularly excited, or the reasons, is first because he is a mishpacha of mine. We were mechutanim. One of my children married a grandchild of his. And also because I have this fervent dream that the Bnei HaYeshiva of our yeshiva should have a sense of belonging to the yeshiva world at large. The yeshiva here is somewhat insulated and isolated, geographically and otherwise, and that's a real tragedy. There's a tremendous amount to be gained by a herkev, a mizug of Bnei Torah from all stripes and from all makomos. Particularly, Reb Shmuel, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir in Brooklyn, was known for his extraordinary hasmoda. A hasmoda which, by the way, was unyielding and did not dissipate with age or suffering or turmoil or public responsibility. Usually when someone becomes more famous and more prominent, the responsibilities of life, the responsibilities of his yeshiva, the responsibilities of various mostos haTorah which he's involved in, steal the time that he has. You know, in the Sidurim, in the morning, there was a line that I always felt was a mistake. A mistake in Nusach, in Girsa. And actually, it's been corrected in a number of more recent editions of Sidurim. People used to say, Torah, Tehei, Emunasi, V'keil Shakai Be'ezrasi. And many of us are happy if we can say Moda Ani Lefanecha, and then Baruch Shem Amar Ashrei and Yishtabach. But when people who have time get up, there are some who say that. You will find it in the Sidurim if you're not familiar with it. But Torah Tehei Emunasi is a strange expression. Torah is my faith. It's like saying Yiddishkeit is my emuna, v'keil shakai be'ezrasi. It doesn't gel. We speak of Toroso umanuso, and Torah tehei emunasi and umanusi are very close, and that's where the mistake, I believe, came from. Torah tehei umanusi. There's a dream that we have. That Torah should be our umanus. So interestingly enough, and most strange, I finally found the nusach in an older siddur, the nusach of Torah Tehei umanusi, my umanus, my occupation, in a siddur which is specifically made for many doros old for women. There they have the right girsa. Torah Tehei Umanusi. But I was thinking that nothing is completely in error or by mistake if it becomes the neches of Klal Yisrael. And if so many Sidurim had the other nusach, there must be Dvarim Bego. There must be some rhyme and reason for it. And I think that the word emuna here is not meant to be faith, but rather constancy. Vayhi yodov emuna ad bo hashemesh. Torah tehei emunasi, in the sense that Torah is my constant. It's almost like a mathematical constant is a constant. It's unwavering, it doesn't change. It doesn't change, and we don't change in relationship to it at all. It doesn't matter. Now, why do I say it in the morning? Because I'm getting up, and I have my agenda, I have my day. And Torah has to be the constant of that day. When Reb Shmuel was already an elderly person by anyone's standard, and already racked with various ailments, he was marrying off his youngest daughter, and the chasna happened to be in Cleveland. He flew to Cleveland for the chasna. As you might know, if the chasna was in New York, and he was very often asked to be Masada Kedushin, he would come after the Seder was over and never before. And many times, there might have been some further delay in traffic and so on, people would wait patiently and sometimes perhaps impatiently for the Rosh Hashiva to come. And it was quite late. It was never before 8 o'clock and sometimes even later than that. And the question that some people must have asked, listen, if he's Masada Kedushin, maybe there's a responsibility to leave a bit earlier, come on time, and not keep this whole Olam waiting. Well, he went to Cleveland for the wedding. Now, Shabbos is sometime during that week, because there are only 7 days in the week. After the wedding, he went back to New York to give his shiur, to come back again to Cleveland for Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, an hour before Shabbos, the entire Beis Medrash, wherever he was completely empty. He was sitting and learning Bahas Mother. Many people testify that they spent many nights, different people, different nights, out of town, in town, wherever he had to be, away from home, and they found that he hardly ever slept. He just sat and learned, sat and learned. So I was thinking to myself, what would he answer to those people who asked, why Bedafka does he have to keep everybody waiting? He did not go to the Siyum HaShas because it was during Second Seder. Siyum HaShas. Who doesn't go to the Siyum HaShas? The Aguda Siyum HaShas. It's during Second Seder. You know, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that probably all of you know. The Gemara is a Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells us about a very unusual town. Amar Rava. Meireish hava amina leka kushta ba'alma. I thought there's no real truth in the entire world. Amalei hume rabbonon, rav tavus shmei, rav tavyumi shmei. I yavalei, kol chaloli da'alma loy have mishani b'diburei. Zimna chada iklu lahu asra v'kushta shmei. He arrived at a certain town, and the name of the town was Kushta. Kushta, of course, meaning in Aramaic, the truth. The name of the town was truth. And they never, ever wavered from the truth. They never told what is called a white lie, even. And no one ever died in that town prematurely. No one ever died young. Nesivi itza minhon, v'havali tarting benin mino. I got married and I had 2 sons. Yom echad, havayasvut visu, v'kochayfa roisha. Asoyi shivavosa tarfa adasha. Sovar lav orechara. She was washing her hair or whatever, and her neighbors came and knocked on the door, and they wanted to speak to her. Sovar lav orechara, it's inappropriate to let them in. She's not exactly in such a circumstance that she could see neighbors right now. Amar lo lesahocha. So So he said, she's not home. Shechivu leitartin benin. And his two sons died. Also inshi da asru lekameh. Amru leimaihai. They noticed that they're making a levaya, young children, small coffins. And they said, maihai, this never happened before. Amaluhu hochi havamaisa. So he told the whole story, how he said this white lie, that she's not home, when in fact she was home, but she wasn't prepared to receive guests. Amru leibim matusa minoch, we beg of you, puk me asrein, please leave. Leave our place. Below Sagari Bahu Mosna Bahanachinshni, and you do not bring death into our community. Now this is an astonishing Gemara. You know why? Because the Gemara tells us in no uncertain terms, Mishanin Mipnei Darkei Shalom. There are instances where it is permissible and maybe even mechuyev to change, to veer from the absolute mathematical truth, mipnei darkei shalom. And so the question is, was this one of those situations where he was not permitted to be mishana? He says, lav orech ara. It's inappropriate to let them in. And apparently, guessing on the circumstance, he wasn't able to tell the whole story, whatever the reason is, to explain to them why not. So he had to say something that would be over la socher, something that they would accept and go away peacefully, friendly. So he said, she's not home. Nu nishkefelach. The Gemara does not challenge the fact that he said she's not home and say that he's not allowed to do this. But Kushta was a different kind of place. So the question is, Kushta's standard is absurd. And perhaps even shelo api alocha sometimes. Every single time you have to tell the truth. So the question is, first of all, why were such nisim occurring in Kushta that no one ever died prematurely? It's the Chiyad Hashem. There's an extraordinary umbrella of protection over Kushta. And secondly, why doesn't the Gemara challenge Kushta with Mishanim Ibnei Darkei Shalom? And the answer is the whole world cannot be Kushta, but there has to be a Kushta in the world. If you ask the question about any other almost perfect masmid, it's a good question. Why keep the oilam waiting? Why not bend a little bit? Why not be a little bit more flexible? Why not go to the Siyum Hashas? Where your presence would mean a lot, and people would be encouraged. Why keep the oilam waiting? The answer is because there has to be a vayhi yodav emuna. There has to be toyroscha emunasi somewhere in this world. Shmuel asked the question which was repeated at one of the Hespedim at the Levaya. It says, Vayokam Melech Chodosh Asher Lo Yoda Es Yosef. And he asked simply in one of his Chumashirim, how could it be? A personality like Yosef, who transformed the landscape of Mitzrayim and who made such an incredible impact, and especially on the Malchus, and the success of the Malchus, and the power, and the wealth of the Malchus, after those years of hunger, when they owned everything and everybody, how could it be that someone could forget Yosef, Bichlal, Asher lo yoda es Yosef? And he answered a very interesting answer. He says, no, he didn't lo yoda klal. It's not like he had an amnesia. He turned Yosef into a legend. On the contrary, Yosef the Great, there are books written about him, poems, epics. But once Yosef becomes a legend, Yosef is no longer real. And maybe it is true, maybe it isn't true, because all legends are embellishments. And in any case, he's so far beyond us and beyond our capacity, so far removed from our day-to-day reality. So Yosef becomes a figure, an icon, a statue. But to a statue, you don't have to have Hakaras HaTov. And to the children and grandchildren of the statue, you certainly don't have to have Hakaras HaTov. Because he becomes the public wheel. He becomes the public persona. And because of that abstraction, there is no need to relate him to the world around me. And memela, I have no achrayus, neither to live up to that image, nor to grant credit and credibility to his offspring. I was thinking how do you prevent any gadol from becoming that legend? So you read about a person and he's larger than life. And he commands talents, capacities, strengths of character which are far beyond your regular mortal. And the answer, I think, lies in the Gemara too. The Gemara in Maseches Yuma, and all of you are familiar with that Gemara and the story that that Gemara tells about Hillel. The Gemara and Daf Lamed Hei Omid Beis in Maseches Yuma tells the story of Hillel and the skylight. There isn't a Jewish child that does not hear the story of Hillel and the skylight. And the Gemara tells us the story in the context of Hillel Mechayiv Aniyim. Tonu Rabbonon. It's very interesting. It's a Tonu Rabbonon. They taught this in the Beis Medrash. Ani v'ashir v'rosha boim ledin. Lasid lovo. After Meya v'esrim, they come ledin. The Ani or the Yashir or the Rosha. La'ani oimlim loy mipnei malo yosakta batora. Im omer ani hayisi v'torud b'mizonosai. Omrim lo klum ani hayisa yoser mihilel. And I have a tremendous question. Everyone has a tremendous question. What does Hillel have to do with me? You answer him that you have no right to claim what? What are you asking? What is your excuse? Oines rachmona patre. Rebbeinu shel olam, what do you want from me? Ani hayisi v'torud b'mizonosai. Do you know what it means not to have tomorrow's bread? How can I think of learning? So they ask him, klum hayisa ani yosa mihilel? Do I have Hillel's IQ? Do I have Hillel's personality? Do I have his strength? What is the Gemara asking of me? What kind of challenge is that? If someone could show me my next door neighbor, if someone could show me my chavrusa across the table, klum ani yisa yisa mechayim yankel, so Chaim Yankel could do it, you could do it also. Chaim Yankel, he's you, he's just like you. Klum ani yisa yisa mihilel. Hillels grow on trees. Hill you find in the dust. There's one Hillel. One Hillel in centuries, there's one Hillel. Somebody asked, are you a masmid like the Vilna Gaon? The Vilna Gaon? There was a young boy, they tell a story about Rav Pam Zichrono Livracha. He told the story, I heard it from him. He told the story that there was a Talmud in the yeshiva he was teaching in high school at the time, I believe, in Torah Vadas. And the Talmud, the Bacher, must have been about 17 years old. He's walking around in a Mara Shchora. You know what that means? He's depressed. He's depressed. He's walking around depressed. None of you, Baruch Hashem, know of such a feeling. But he's walking around depressed. So he finally asks him after a couple of days or weeks, what's the matter? What's wrong? Who knows what kind of tzara he has? He says, recently he was reading a biography of the Chafetz Chaim. And he read the Tkufa of the Chafetz Chaim when he was his age, 17. And he realizes how much he has to go to achieve what the Chafetz Chaim already accomplished. And it's making him very depressed. So Rav Pam, who was the ultimate in edelkeit, in sensitivity and in gentleness, he says, I yelled at him. And I said to him, the Chafetz Chaim? You want to be like the Chafetz Chaim? There's one Chafetz Chaim. Just be yourself. So how does the Gemara say Hillel Mechayev Ani? There's one Hillel. If there's one Chafetz Chaim, there's one Hillel. You know what the answer is? If the Gemara would have said, is that Kadosh Baruch Hu challenges them and asks them, why didn't you accomplish so much in learning? Why don't you know Kol HaTorah Kula? Why didn't you become the Godol Ador? Then he is entitled to say, I am not Hillel. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks him, Mipnei Maloi Osakto BaTorah, he cannot answer, Oni Yisi B'Torah B'Mizonosai, because there's a Hillel. What's the difference? What's the difference between IQ and Hasmada? What's the difference between IQ and Mesiras Nefesh? After all, Hasmada and Mesiras Nefesh are also Kishronos. Recently, a chaver of mine came back from Rav Yashiv. He was in Eretz Yisrael. He was given an opportunity to speak to Rav Yashiv. No small feat. And someone who heard that he got an appointment with Rav Yashiv asked to piggyback. Can I join you? The covered God. And that man was a mechanech. He had a yeshiva. And there was a question, and he posed the question to Rav Yashiv. And he said to Rav Yashiv, should be well. There are two bachurim and we only have one slot in the yeshiva. There's no room, and we have one slot. And the question is, which bachur should we choose? One of them is a very big Baal Kishron, tremendous mind. The other one is a masmid. Whom should we take in if we cannot take both? And he says that Rav Yashiv looked at them and he says, you're not asking the question properly. He says, you should ask the question as follows. There are two bacharim. One has a kishrin of genius, and the other one has a kishrin of asmada. Which kishrin should we choose to take into the yeshiva? He says, asmada is also a kishrin. And he said that you should take in the masid. If it is a kishrein, hadra kushyan leduchte. If it's a kishrein, what does Hashem want from me? I don't have that kishrein. So the answer is yesh kishrein v'yesh kishrein. There's a kishrein that is granted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a gift. It's part of his genetic makeup. He has capacities and abilities that are beyond other people's capacities and abilities. And there's not much you can do about it. The IQ is the IQ. Someone who can look at a ktsais and memorize it. Remember, we had a Talmud that was about tshuva. He came to the yeshiva. I think it was inspired by Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zichrono Livracha. Phenomenal genius. What's the pshat, phenomenal genius? He sat down once, they say, and he read Targum Unculus, and then he repeated it back to everybody. So go ahead, do it. You could daven for 40 days and 40 nights and fast, and you're more likely to be Zoicha to Gilu Elio than to be able to say the Targum Unculus about that. So what's the pshat? The pshat is a genius is a genius. And the Rebbe Shem will never say, how come you don't know Unklus Baal Peh after reading it once? But there's a certain kind of kishrin that is indeed a kishrin. And not everybody has it in the same measure. But it's a kishrin that you can be mefateach. That's the difference. It's a kishrin that you can acquire and develop. And the reason that it doesn't happen is not for lack of the capacity of will, but for lack of desire, of intent. And that, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I cannot grant you the heter and the ptur of Ones Rachmona Patri. You know, the Evan Ezra explains Lo Sachmot. Many of you know this Evan Ezra. Evan Ezra asked the very famous question. He says, people ask this question. Anoshim Rabim, I'm going to read it to you. Yitmehu al zos hamitzvah. There are many who wonder about Lo Sachmod. What kind of love is this? Eich yiya odom shelo yachmo dover yofe belibo kol mashehu nechmod lemare einov. He says, what do you mean, Lo Sachmod? It pulls me. You walk by a beautiful house. I wish I had that house. V'chulu is a big Lo Sachmod. Eishes Reyecha, Beis Reyecha, Avdo, Shoro. How can you not be homemade? It's a natural feeling. It's human nature. It's who I am. Says the Evan Ezra. Now attain da, ki ish kefari sheyesh lo das nechona. You have a peasant who's not meshuga. Yesh lo das nechona. So there's a peasant, v'hu ra'a bas melech shehi yafa, and he sees a beautiful princess passing by in her wagon, in her carriage. He sees the bas melech shehi yafa. Lo yachmod osa belibo sheyish kavima. He will not think that he has any potential or possibility of having an affair or romance with her. Because he knows it's not possible. It's never going to happen. You cannot imagine that the Kfari is going to have machshavas which are as absurd as thinking that he's going to sprout wings and begin to fly into the heavens. V'lo yitochin liyos ka'asher ein odom mis'ave lishkav im imo afal pi shehi yafa. Ki hir giluhu minu urav lada'as shehi asura lo. So it would be inconceivable to imagine that a person's mother is beautiful and therefore he has desires for her. Kocha kol maskil tzorich sheyeda ki isha yofa omomon lo yimseenu odom bavur chochmoso v'daitoi rak hasher cholak loy Hashem. And therefore, if he knows bonei chayu mezoinei la v'schusa tal yomilsa ela b'mazla, it's a remarkable Evan Ezra, because the Evan Ezra in effect is saying that the chesaron, if you don't have that hasaga, is because you don't take the love, the isur, the warning of the Ribbono Shel Olam, seriously enough. Because would that love compel you to understand that this is an impossibility? Then it would be as irrelevant to you as the Bas Melech's beauty is to the Kefari. It seems to me that the inverse of this Evan Ezra is that if you think something is really shayach to you, if you think that you're the one who's supposed to have it, and it pains you and troubles you that you don't have it, and that someone else perhaps does have it, that you would be compelled and it would be expected of you to have unlimited yearnings and pinings and frustrations because you are homemade something and you don't have it yet. The Kfari has no possibilities. And that's what makes this image so distant to him. The Ben Melech from the Medina that's next door, when he sees this beautiful Bas Melech, he cannot stop thinking about her for a moment. And to that person, the Eben Ezra could not possibly have any kindness, because it is more than appropriate. If a person realizes his chelek in Torah is waiting for him, and that he really needs it desperately, and that his passion for it is unabated, there is no poverty in the world that will stop him. And that is Kluma Yisa Ani Yosem Hillel, is not that I have to become Hillel. I'll never become Hillel. But my poverty cannot stop me if I want something. But the Ribbono Shel'olam has to prove that that was the case. So he says, well, Hillel had great kishrom. But great kishrom does not bring you to the top of the roof of the Beis Medrash on a cold, wintry day when it's snowing outside. It does not make you crazy that you have to hear the shiur that one day, because tomorrow maybe he will have another matbeya. Nobody was sending him away for months or years. One shiur. I'll hear the tape. I'll get the chavrusa to tell it over to me. I'll find someone who was in the shiur who has a great memory and he'll repeat it for sure, word for word. What's the problem? If there's a Hillel and he climbs up on the roof and he has to hear the shiur, there is no poverty that can prevent any person, any average kishrin, any average mind who's mad for Torah, who's so in love with the Torah, that poverty can possibly stop him. You know, they tell a story about Reb Shmuel that when he came to the yeshiva, I don't know if it was Baranovich or Mir, whichever, maybe Baranovich, with Reb Ochanan, was a young boy. There were two people in the entire yeshiva that owned a Ktzos HaChoshen. That's how the poverty was so great. That's how the poverty manifested itself. There were two Talmidim in that whole multitude that owned a Ktzos HaChoshen. They were learning the Zikim, Noshim. Two Ktzos HaChoshen. So they used to line up, like at the bakery with tickets. They lined up to have a chance, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, you can have it, then you have to give it to the next Talmud. So one of the Talmidim noticed that Reb Shmuel owned a Ktzos HaChoshen. Said, you must be a very big Gvir. Gvir, Havei Gvir La'achecha. Gvir in Yiddish means a rich man. You must be a very big Gvir. He says, what makes you say that? Actually, he came from an extremely poor family. They had nothing. He says, how can you have a Ktzos? No one has a Ktzos. Only the richest people. It's like La'avdil today, if somebody would drive around in a whatever. So you know what he answered? He says, I'm not a Gvir. My mother sold her Shabbos dress. She had a weekday dress and she had a Shabbos dress. She sold her Shabbos dress to buy this Ktzos for me before I came to the yeshiva. Klum ani hayisa yosem mihil. And hasmada, when you reach that level of uncompromising love of Torah, of absolute commitment, there are no kashas. Maybe he should have done it this way, maybe he should have done it that way. This is it. He is the kushta of Hasmadas HaTorah. The ultimate paragon. Not the standard against which everyone else is measured. We are measured by more normal standards. But that there is such Hasmada in the world, that there was such a person, and he wasn't a legend. You could touch him and you could joke with him, and he cared about you and he loved you. This is real, tangible, manifest, and seemingly unattainable. Bevasachas. So that's Tayrascha Emunasenu Ba'olam Hazeh. There's something else that I wanted to share with you. It's very easy to talk the talk. I noticed an interesting thing. When I came to him, I rather told him a pshat in this pasuk, which he really appreciated very much, and he liked it, and he repeated it to others. He was extremely sick. It was towards the very end. And the cancer was ravaging his body, and he could hardly walk and move. He gave shiurim kemat till the end with superhuman kolchos. Superhuman kolchos. The body is what it is. It's the will. So superhuman will, it's the avas haTorah. Superhuman avas haTorah, there's no such thing. It's your avas haTorah. You make it your avas haTorah. That's why they say, klumani ayisa yosem hiyo. I came in, he couldn't even stand up. He was lying there, sitting there in a chair, in a lounge chair. And I told him that the pasuk says, this is the Sukkim right after the Haftorah of Shabbos Nachamu, Perik Mem of Yeshayahu. It says two phrases. One phrase says, Hanosein la yo'ev koach, ule'ein onim otzma yarbe. He gives to the oyev, or yo'ev, which is the same, he gives to the tired strength. Hanosein la yo'ev koach. We'll make a bracha like that. And there's another pasuk right after, V'koyei Hashem yachalifu koach. And I asked him, what's the difference between the two? And I suggested that when a person has a reservoir of koach and it gets depleted, but the reservoir is fine, it's still, there's still koach there, but it's not enough for the task. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you a little more koach. Some extra koach. Hanosein layoev. I'm tired. Hanosein layoev koach. But sometimes, a car has a problem with the transmission. You go to an honest mechanic. He says, there's a loose screw. He tightens it. Give me $10. Sometimes you go back to the same mechanic, transmission doesn't work. He says, Yankel, I'm sorry to tell you, there's nothing I can do. Transmission shot, it's dead. Got to take out the old transmission, put in the new transmission. That's the Koyve Hashem Yachalifu Koach. That's a Chalipin. Sometimes the Koach is just, it's just not there anymore. The reservoir is not just depleted. The reservoir is broken. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give a person an entirely new reservoir. That's Yachalifu Koach. Why? Because he's Kovei Hashem. He trusts in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I found it remarkable. There's a pasuk in Eicha. Tov Hashem Lekovav. Hashem is good to those who trust in him. Lenefesh Tidrishenu. What is Lenefesh Tidrishenu adding to Tov Hashem Lekovav? So maybe the answer is it's Kefil Ha'inyan B'milim Shonos. What does Lekovav mean? Lenefesh Tidrishenu. That's Lekovav. The Rabbeinu Yoina says in Pirkei Avos, Perek Gimel, V'hakol l'fi rov ha-ma'aseh. So he says, Gam ha-tzadikim ein ha-marbe v'ha-mamit shovin. Ki ha-kol l'fi rov ha-ma'aseh. It's lo ha-medrash ikor elo ha-ma'aseh. Ha-kol l'fi rov ha-ma'aseh. U'kamo she'amar b'medrash eicha gimul chafhei. That's this pasuk. Toiv Hashem l'koivav l'nefesh tidrishenu. Toiv Hashem l'koivav l'nefesh tidrishenu. Eino doma ha-mikave u'misasek l'mikave ve'eino misasek. What does it mean? Mikave u'misasek and mikave ve'eino misasek. So the answer is, at some point or another, we get the message. We get inspired, we get excited about something, we take that Torah seriously, and we dream the dream. And to be honest with you, that's how it has to begin, most of the time. There is a mitok shelo lishma bo lishma, where you can go from the opposite end. But most of the time, you have to dream the dream. You have to have the vision. You have to want something really badly. But in the maisa to do it, to finally do it, that's the difference between Lakovov and Lakovov, which is Lenefesh Tidrashem. Doresh Es Hashem. Isn't Doresh Es Hashem also dreaming the dream? If the Pasuk would have said, Tov Hashem Lakovov, Lenefesh Haosev, Lemekayim Mitzvosov, I understand. How can you be not Mekayim Mitzvosov if you're Kovel Hashem? The answer is you could. You have bitachon, you have a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but when it comes to the L'maisa, you're misrashal, the Yetzirah gets the best of you. And he shreds you before you can get anything really accomplished. But it says in the Pasuk, L'nefesh Tidrashenu, where did they see in L'nefesh Tidrashenu? Ma'isa, as the Rabbeinu Yonah says. And the Medrash is Loshon, Mekave u'misasek. Where is misasek in L'nefesh Tidrashenu? The answer is, that's exactly it. There's a yearning, and there's a chalom, and it remains above and beyond me. And basically, what it means is that I admire it, I believe in it, and that when I see it in others, I'm molei ga'aguin. But l'nefesh tidrashenu, it's not. L'nefesh tidrashenu means, I want it. It's for me. The dream is my dream. The reality becomes my reality. And then I will do it. The pasuk doesn't even have to speak about the ma'aseh. The ma'aseh is inevitable. That's the nekuda. That's the difference between making somebody a legend and making him real in your own life. When you hear about that kind of asmada, what's the next step? Where do you go from there? Like Morabu Ma'asecha Hashem. Or is it, I wish I could be that kind of a masmid. Or boy, wouldn't it be gevaldik if I had that hasmada. What I would accomplish. And then the person who says, I am going to be a masmid like that. That's l'nefesh didrashen. And it's very remarkable, we say it every single day, but we don't know what we're saying. Ki heim chayenu ve'orech yameinu, what comes after that? Sounds almost like a letdown. It's our very lives. What's vayem nehege yomam v'loyla? The answer is you can be kiheim chayenu v'orech yomenu kind of person, and every excuse and every narishkeit, every ridiculous interruption, and there you are, and there goes the Torah down the drain. Because ufahem nege yomam v'loyla l'maisa requires a different kind of understanding. The understanding that it's me that they're talking about. Not Reb Shmuel, zichrono levracha, only. And that kind of understanding is called, in the pasuk in Eicha, l'nefesh tidrashenu. That's doresh es Hashem. It's me. So the tefillah is, Kiheim chayenu, yes. The orech yomenu, yes. But uvahem nehege yomam v'loyla. That's the bottom line. And the same thing is true not just with Hasmada, but with the whole Hashkafas HaTorah and all the Kiyum HaMitzvos. You can have dreams and you can have visions and you can really care about something, but the question is me. And that's the Nekud of Masa Yagiu Ma'asai L'Ma'asai Avosai. Not She'ifosai, not Chalomosai, Ma'asai L'Ma'asai Avosai. And as the Rebbe Rebunim said, no one has any hava minus of being Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, because it's not Shaykh. So what does it mean, Yagiu? Yagiu means to touch. It has to touch. You have to be in the same league. You have to touch. I'd like to be Mesayim. With what I think is an astonishing revelation to me, because frankly, when you learn something in a certain context, all of a sudden you see things that you never saw before. I was thinking about Elisha crying out, Avi, Avi, Rechev Yisrael Uparashav. And why was I thinking about it? Because Reb Shmuel had this incredible ability to be Rechev Yisrael Uparashav. Or Klal Yisrael was his venue, his interest, his concern. He was the Rosh of the Roshei HaYeshivos in the end. And he was Avi, he was everybody's father. And so Mamela, I decided to look into the Gemara about Kriya and Tearing Kriya. So the Gemara says, Elu Korin, or Elu Kroin She'enon Misachim. HaKorea Al Aviv Va'al Imoy Va'al Raboi Shalim Doi Torah. So Gemara might cut in that chod vav amar alif. How do we know this? The Gemara says Al Nosi Al Abezdin Shmuel Rose Brichas Hashem Sefer Torah and Nisraf, but Aviv Imo and Rabo Shalim Dol Torah. So Gemara says, how do we know this? So they bring this pasuk. Aviv Imo veRabo Shalim Dol Torah Min Nala. The pasuk in Malachim Beis VeElisha Ra VeHu Mitzayik. Avi, Avi, Rechev Yisrael Uparashav. So the Gemara explains. Avi, Avi, Ze Avi V'imoy. There's a lot to say about that. Avi repeated twice. Ze Avi V'imoy. Rechev Yisrael Uparashav. Ze Rabo Shalim Do Torah. I don't understand. Rabo Shalim Do Torah. The din of Kriya is for one's own Rebbe, who's malamid him Torah, your Rebbe Muvak. What is Rechev Yisrael Uparashav? And if you're not happy with that question, the question becomes even harder, because the Gemara doesn't stop there. And like Rashi on that pasuk in Malachim, who doesn't say one word of his own, but simply quotes the words of the Targum, why does he do that? Because the Gemara does exactly the same thing. They quote the Targum. And they say, Rechev Yisrael Uparoshav Zerabo Shalim Do Torah, my mashma. How do we know that? All right, Avi, Avi. If Avi's repeated twice, you could understand maybe the other Avi is for Imai. But where is Rabbi Shalim Do Torah in Rechev Yisrael Uparoshav? Doesn't say anything about teaching Torah. Doesn't say anything about his being his Rebbe. So where in the words Rechev Yisrael Uparoshav, the chariot and the horses, and the, how do you see in that Rabo Shalim Do Torah, my mashma? So the Gemara answers, Kidimitargim Rav Yosef, Rebbe, Rebbe, Avi, Avi, the Tav Lahon Li Yisrael Bitzlosei Miritichin Uparoshim. You hear? Who's better for Yisrael through his tfilos than mighty armies, so to speak? That just makes the question much harder. So if you say that a person has to be Korea on Reb Chanina ben Doisa, it's perfect. Rechev Yisrael uParashav, the Tavlu Yisrael. He's better for Klal Yisrael through his tfilos for them on their behalf than Retichin uParashav. What does it have to do with Rabbo Shalim Do Torah? There could be one Rebbe and one Talmud. It doesn't say how many Talmidim. Where is the Rechev Yisrael uParashav? It doesn't say one word about learning Torah. Kidim Metargim Rav Yosef, the Tavlu Yisrael Bitzlosei in his Tefillah. So what's the pshat? Nu adarabba. Whether this is the pshat or not, I don't know. It's almost not nogeya to me right now. But I'd like to say something that I felt when I was learning this Gemara and asking that question. You know, there's a gadol that's beyond you. And the question is, how do I connect? How do I level the playing field? So there are two ways. The Satan, the Yetzer Hara, climbs in and he says, legend. And not everything that you read and see is true. Don't believe all those stories. Satan comes and he says, he may have had milas, but maybe he had some chesronos too. Maybe he was this, maybe he was that. The Satan's going to try to reduce the gadol. That's how he makes him level. So you can connect to an imperfect person, to a person that had Yetzer Hara just like you and me, to a person who was just living in this world and doing his thing. Well, so what? Then there's another way, and that's the way of the Yetzer Tov. It says the gadol is what he is. You have to lift yourself up high enough. How does he zocha to pishnayim, says Eliyahu, if he sees him rising up in that chariot of fire, in the rechev esh and the parashi esh? If a person has a Rebbe, shalimdoi Torah, so what is the image of that Rebbe in his eyes? So the answer is, you want a Rebbe shalimdoi Torah, the image has to be, he's way up there. He's Tavli Yisrael Bitzlose. That means the thing that you don't even see, the Milos and the Midos that are even beyond you, they're there. You have to believe that because of him, the world is Kayam. You have to imagine that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have such a treasure in the world beside him. And on that kind of Rebbe, a person is Kireya, because he lost a father and a mother. Anything less, and there's no point in being Kireya, because then it's not Rabbo Shalimdo Torah. You see, sometimes a person that has reached certain madregas, it's not just in Hasmada, it's not just in Avas Yisrael, it's not just in the kindness and the generosity, it's not just in the complete bitul of the Ani and the complete respect for your Ani that this incredible person had. Money meant nothing to him, and he was always showering other people with money. He could deprive himself of everything, and he was always busy providing other people. And there was in his hasmada no room and no time, and he had all the room and all the time. And a person can say, that's not possible. And that's the end of the image, and that's the end of the godless, and that's the end of its relevance to me, and that is not going to lead to any lenefesh tidrishenu. Maybe lekovov. Maybe there's a dream. Maybe there's a vision. Maybe there's an imagination. But it's not going to be me, because it's not real, it's not tangible. A legend cannot feed you when you're hungry and cannot illuminate your path in the dark. For that you need a real person. But a real person who is great, and great in your eyes. And for that a person has to have not only generosity of spirit, not only of kindness of disposition, but also they has to share that vision and make it real in his own life. Then the Rabbo Shalimdo Torah becomes the Rechev Yisrael Uparashav in his eyes and in his comprehension. and then Hillel can be mechayev the biggest ani. You know, this pasuk of Vekovei Hashem Yachlifu Koach. When do you need it? When do you need this Yachlifu Koach? The answer is when you're old and frail, and you're helpless, and you're sick. 70, 80, 90 years old. Rabbanu Shalom, I just don't have any more koach. I'm not a yoef. I need a yachlifu. Makes sense, no? What if I would say yachlifu koach? Dafka young people need yachlifu koach. Doesn't make any sense. Why should they need yachlifu koach? Did you ever learn the end of Maseches Kedushin, Perek Asara Yuchsin? Did you ever learn the statement of Rav Nehorai about the greatness of Torah? We started with Torah Tehei. Emunasi, vahiyod of Emunah. Now I'll end with Torah Tehei, Umanusi. What does Rav Nehorai say? Maniach ani kol umanus sheba'olam, veini melamedes b'niyeh la Torah. Why? She'adam ochel mischora b'olam hazeh, ve'akeren kayemes lo la'olam haba. Fine. Ushar kol umanus ain't okay. Kishadam boli de choli oli de zikna oli de yisurin. So then, eino yochol is asik b'malachta. Varehu meis barav. Aval haTorah eino kein. Ela mishamroso mikol ra b'na'aruso. V'nosenes lo achris v'tikva b'ziknuso. It protects him from any evil b'na'aruso when he's young. And it gives him an achris, a future, a hope, the tikva, b'ziknusa. B'na'aruso mahu omer. How does he know this? What does it say in the pasuk about b'na'aruso when he's young? What pasuk does he quote? The kovei Hashem yachlifu koach. U'b'ziknusa mahu omer, od yenuvun b'seva. What does it mean, b'na'aruso? M'shameres olav b'na'aruso. V'nosenes lo achris v'tikva b'ziknuso. How do you know m'shameres lo b'na'aruso? Mohu omer, v'kove Hashem yachlifu koach. You know the answer? The answer is, you tell a kid who desperately wants something. You have to turn over 500 somersaults, 200 push-ups. You got to go from here to China. There's nothing that will stop it. There's that energy, there's that brand, there's that taiva. Imagine. People, you have you want the drugs. You're going to have to negotiate with a guy that might kill you. You have to go to a corner and you might be locked up in jail for the next 20 years. It doesn't stop him. Taiva. So you know what the pasuk says? Yachlifu koach. You got all that inside of you. Make it for Torah. We have this incredible youth here. To say that halavai I was your age is a stupid thing to say. Because Hillel Mechayev Aniyim means also Hillel Mechayev Zakenim too, you know. It's the truth. The Rambam at the beginning says, Beinoni, Beinoshe, Bein Zaken, Shetosh, Ashkocho. There's no such thing as wishful thinking. Halavai, I had it to do all over again. That is just a recipe for depression and frustration. And it also says that now it's already different. It's niyor mochuk. Since when did that become a heter? I have to be a bigger masmid than any of you. Because I have to be the biggest masmid. Not because I give shiur. Because I have to be the biggest masmid. But so do you. And asmoda means lamaisa. Chayenu, orech yameinu, uvahem nege yom ha'olam. Lenefesh tidreshen. The value of knowing and touching and hearing about that uncompromising asmoda that will not leave until the second Seder. And if he has to go to a dinner, even of his own yeshiva, he will give a shiur at the dinner. Because that justifies being at the dinner. And when he's sitting in an airplane and is a fellow, a wealthy fellow, a Ben Torah, who is in the first class, and he's sitting in Nebuch adjacent to a woman, Rosh Hashiva sitting, and there's a woman there, and he has to squeeze over to the side, and he's sitting in the middle of the main cabin in the regular, with the hoi polloi, with the oilam. And he goes back for whatever reason, and he notices Rosh Hashiva, recognizes Rosh Hashiva as Rosh Hashiva. You're sitting here, and I'm sitting there. How are you talking? Let's switch seats. And the Rosh Hashiva Mineube says, what do you mean, let's switch seats? Let's give her the seat, and you sit next to me, and we'll talk and learning. There was never a time. He was in the hospital. He just had a massive heart attack. He was just barely recuperating. He just woke up. And he asked his son, Rav Asher, bring me a Gemara. He says, you're not allowed to learn. The doctor says you're not allowed to learn. Bring me a Gemara. They brought the Gemara, Masechus Kiddushin, Masechus Gittin, whatever it was. And he, Asher reads a few lines of the Gemara, and then he's holding the Gemara and looking at it. He can't hold the Gemara anymore. He says, Asher, take the Gemara, put it on my heart. They started singing together a song about the beauty of Torah and his love for Torah. They sat in Shanghai, they didn't know whether their family was alive or dead. And the hasmada of the entire group was Neira V'ayom. My father-in-law should be well was there. Of Eidus Re'iyah, Eidus Shmiyah. Remember a late batch, Zichrono Livracha, Rosh Hashiva of Detroit, a cousin of ours. He said that the learning then was the learning of the century. No one before or after could match that kind of learning. And it was real learning. It wasn't dreaming about learning. It wasn't talking about learning. It wasn't writing sforim about the importance of learning. It was the learning itself. 24/7. And this was the masmid of all masmidim. He starts learning at the age of 11. And he learns non-stop, day in, day out, rain or shine. Tsaris, lost a son, lost another son, lost a grandson. One heart attack, a second heart attack, a machlo mam eris, runs back to the Gemara, runs back to give the shir, runs back to say the chumash shir, runs back to learn the Mishnah Berurah with the Balabatim. Has one chavrusa after another chavrusa after a third chavrusa. In all of those circumstances, Kushta, the town of Kushta, where emes cannot be disturbed, where there is no compromise, even when the Gemara says you're entitled and maybe even mechuyev. Meshanim mitnei darkei shalom. This is a vision that we have to pull down, chas v'shalom. It's a vision that we have to rise to, and you rise to it with the lamaisa of v'ahem nege yom ha'volay. Just the fact that it's there and you can reach out and touch it because it's real. That is the incredible thing. It's in front of you. It's a person. He lived on East 7th Street. He was in Brooklyn. It's not Hillel, and it's not the Vilna Gaon, and it's not Rabbi Akiva Eiger. And if it wouldn't be for this machla, and if he wouldn't be gone, you could all go and visit him. That means that you can do it. That's what it means. And it means that you have to do it. That's what it means. We should be zeicha that after his p'tira, he becomes a Rebbe of ours, even if he wasn't so before his p'tira. And maybe these words will help some of you, maybe all of you, and maybe even me, become the masmid and the lomaid and the yogeya, the shetiyu ba'amelim ba'torah of im b'chukosai teilech. B'chukosai teilech was very nice. Sounds very, very impressive. It's like a slogan, im b'chukosai teilech. Shetiyu amelim ba'torah. So we have all of us our excuses and all of us our weaknesses and all of us our pressures. Push them aside. Find that extra minute. Don't succumb to the Baba Mice excuses. Don't have to become crazy. Don't have to stop talking to people. But you have to know that every minute is precious. Shmuel used to say, an hour of learning, a second of learning. a second of learning. And all that that meant, he didn't even have to finish the sentence. For him, it was a second of learning. Yehi Zichro Baruch.